It is so good to be able to share with you the Word of God today. It has been a while. It has been a while. I think over 5 weeks or more since I've shared with you the Word of God. Since my surgery, I have struggled to get my lung capacity back and to keep consistent sentences. I've attempted to do some recordings for you, but instead gave up and just wrote notes. And I hope that those have been a blessing to you. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your love. Without your gifts, without your grace, this ministry could not continue the way it has. And even in the midst of the struggles of the past few months and our limited ability of gathering together in our special gatherings monthly and shortening our group meeting capacity, we are still plugging along, and God is faithful. I am so challenged by the times we live in, and I hope to speak to you from the heart today as I speak in a regular fashion of teaching ministry from these pastoral sessions that I am going to be ministering through in the next years. I'm going to open up the Word in a pastoral way, considering teaching form, going through a lectionary like I have in the past, and doing it in a year-long lectionary, and kind of keep on that theme and scope that is necessary, but interject with revelation, insight, and in a way I pray that will help you in your walk with Christ. I might fumble around a bit today. I might not speak as coherently and in a proper fashion as I have in the past, but bear with me as I am trying to have enough lung capacity to minister to you. I had so much fluid in my lungs from the anesthesia from surgery and different things that I have had a bit of a struggle. Singing is still extremely hard, but hallelujah. I'm thankful to God that I am being able to share with you today, and I pray that you will be blessed. I love God's people. I just want you to know that. I love God's people. I love the people who have given and have been a blessing and are faithful partners with us at Covenant of Grace. I'm thankful for Bishop Moore and the leadership of Full Gospel Restoration, which I'm a part of and on the Council of Elders, and appreciate the honor of being the president of Focus Bible College. Brother Moore and I are good friends and different ones in the ministry, Brother Chapman and others, and so many are just great people. And I'm thankful, and I know they're prayer warriors, and they get a hold of God. And if I need prayer, they can cover me. Sister Skirvin, her husband, others, there are people that can cover me in prayer, and it's good. And you need those prayer partners, and you need those people in your life. I don't want to be an island out there on my lonesome trying to serve God and minister to you. That's not good. That's not comfortable. That's not being accountable. As I've told you many times, I've spent time for many years under the ministry of the Word of Brother Charles Simpson or my dear brother, Brother Derek Prince. And I personally have not been in the capacity of being in their churches, but have been in some of their meetings many, many years ago, and have been able to gain some of the understanding of covenant, of accountability, and walking in the grace of God. And just as they fumbled around at times in my life, I fumbled around, but I believe in that. And I know how easy it is to make mistakes, not be honorable, not work together in synchronization, not work with your brethren, and see God heal thyself. Amen. Heal you. So it's important to work together and to help one another. And we be brethren. Amen. We be brethren. I want to title the word for today, if I may, Faith and Wisdom. Faith and Wisdom. And we're going to look at the book of James. We've been going into the book of Proverbs and otherwise in many of our Bible study groups. And, you know, we're going to touch upon scriptures in Isaiah 40, verse 1 through 8, James 1, 1 through 11, and some others. And I hope that God will minister to you in His Word. If you may, I'm going to read the scriptures This is going to be from the King James Version of the Bible, James 1, 1 through 11. Get your Bibles out, and if you could, turn to there. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into a diversity of temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh what? You guys know it. Patience, right? Patience. But let patience have her perfect work. Let it work itself out, that ye may be perfect and entire. Okay, entire, complete. Wanting nothing. Satisfied. Amen. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. If you give it to all men, and I like this, liberally. God likes to give to you liberally. Liberality and liberally, brethren. And upbraideth not. And it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. I want to stop just for a moment and interject something before we go into verse 7. How many of you, when somebody kind of, you know, comes to you for something or wants to talk to you for a moment and needs something, they beat around the bush. They just beat around the bush. They don't get to the subject. They're like so hesitant to ask. It might be a bit of humility. It might be a little bit of embarrassment, etc. But don't you like people just come out with it? That know what they want. I want you to know something. God wants you to address him in a way where you act as though you know what you want. And too many believers are not seeing the blessings and the grace and the help of the Lord because they don't know what they want. Or they're hesitant. Or they're fearful to approach Father. Because maybe what they're asking for, they know they screwed up. And because of it, you know, now they're asking for this blessing. Okay? But don't. That's not going to help you any. Boldly approach the throne of grace in time of need. It's a throne of grace. It's not a throne of disgrace. Despite whatever chastisement you might receive from the Lord, I promise you the remedy and the grace of God is far more exceedingly abundantly filled with love and will minister in your life in a very special way. Amen. Just remember that. That was a freebie, guys. I gave you a free one there. Verse 7. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Why? If he's tossed to and fro and, you know, wavering around sea with driven, tossed wind and sea, it says in verse 6. That's nothing wavering. Amen. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Have you ever met somebody who's just constantly double-minded? Man, they go from one thing to another thing, and you don't really pin down what they want. Those people are hard to work with. Those people are hard to try to get something done with, and usually you're stuck trying to make the decision. You know, a woman likes a man who's a husband to make a decision. You know, I know we're kind of like, oh, what do you think, babe? That's what we want to say, right? But a wife likes to have a decision. She will give her interjection. She will give words of wisdom, etc. And she'll let you know if she thinks it's a stupid idea. But the thing is, let's be honest. Somebody who has a word to say and can, you know, just say it, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Try to build up your confidence in your decision-making capacities. It won't start unless you start doing it. Amen. Let the brother of low degree, I'm in verse 9, rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich fade away in his ways. If your goal is to get wisdom, you're going to be blessed. We've been learning that in our studies in the last few weeks. If your idea is to gain wisdom, you're going to be blessed. But if your idea and desire is to gain just wealth, be capitalistic, or be filled with the things of this world, you're not going to be blessed. It's going to be short term. Solomon was blessed. And we talked about this and studied this a while ago in scriptures. I wasn't in on the study, but my Bible study group and others went through the study. Solomon asked for wisdom of God and understanding. Wisdom and understanding so that he could lead the people of God to be blessed. He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for a big yacht. He didn't ask for a Mercedes-Benz. He didn't ask for the greatest palace in the world. None of that. God, give me wisdom and understanding that I might rule your people. We need to get wisdom and understanding. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And to take that faith and to use it for God is important. It is the foundation stone of wisdom that can see the victory of God and with an understanding heart serving the Lord and being able to capably fulfill the will of God. But too many times we don't get wisdom along with our faith. We're bold, we go forth, etc. And God gives us the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and we don't really do anything with it. Why? Because we don't get wisdom. And we don't see how God wants us to apply that nugget, apply that faith in such a degree that we see the victory of God and the grace of God and the power of God. So we get short-circuited and cut off from our blessing. Lord, grant me faith. Lord, grant me faith that I can move mountains. That's what we like to pray. But if he gives you those nuggets, if he gives you that potential, if he gives you that substance of things, so forth, what are you doing with it? How are you going to apply it? There's a lot of people asking for money for ministry and et cetera today to serve God and to work in a capacity of service that they believe God's called them to. However, they don't have wisdom and understanding, and if God gave it to them and blessed them, they wouldn't know what to do with, how to do it, and they'd mess up in it. Has God given you a plan? Has he given you a vision? Listen to me. Listen to me, church. Has God given you a plan? Has he given you a vision? If he's going to bless you with that capacity, if he's going to bless you with those finances, what are you going to do it? Do you have a plan? Do you have a vision? Have you got the wisdom? And then with understanding, you can use what God's given you and see the victory, and you can go about the work of God. Amen. There are pastors that God blesses in ministries where he's blessed ministers with planes and other things for the capacity and service of the ministry when they have gotten that place of understanding where they know what to do with it and they are capable of utilizing the gifts of God in the way he's called. I have a friend of mine who is a doctor who wanted to minister, and he wanted to go to Africa and minister, and yet the people he's trying to minister to, he really couldn't get to and really couldn't do the things he needed to. And he came to me and asked for wisdom, considering how he might be able to fulfill the call of God. He said, I really got this call. And I believe this is God's will for me to do this and to take these medicines and to minister the gospel. But he had no plan. He had no understanding exactly how to get from A to B. And I talked to him about that and said how you need to pray and God will give you the substance of things hoped for and the ability if you find yourself in a position where you have a vision and plan and God will minister. And he went back and he prayed and he went back and got a hold of certain people he knew. And 2 months later, it was a totally different picture. He comes to me and says, Pastor, God's worked it all out. And this certain group and everything he started to get a part of, et cetera. And they were excited about hitting the plan that God had given him. And they were going to go about to this country and do exactly what he wanted to do. And the Lord began to provide for it. Amen. That's what faith, conjoined with wisdom, can do in your heart and life. Amen? I want to teach more on that, but right now, let's go to Isaiah chapter 40, 1 through 8. Isaiah chapter 40, 1 through 8. And if you don't mind, I'm going to read from the Common English Version of the Bible here. Isaiah 40, 1 through 8. I probably will not get through half of my notes and et cetera, but that's, as you know, definitely all right. Okay, chapter 40 of Isaiah, verse 1, guys. You got it? Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak compassionately to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her compulsory service has ended, that her penalty has been paid. Aren't you glad that the penalty has been paid at Calvary? Amen. Aren't you glad? That she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice is crying out, clear the Lord's way in the desert. Make a level highway in the wilderness for our God. Every valley will be raised up, and every mountain and hill will be flattened. Uneven ground will become level, and rough terrain a valley plain. The Lord's glory will appear, and all humanity will see it together. The Lord's mouth has commanded it. There is a time and place for all things under God, and He can make the rough places plain. He can turn around the spiritual terrain, the circumstances of your life, the things that are going on, to put it in a position where the environment becomes conducive for a miracle. But you've got to get in that position to submit to the things of God, to yield to the things of God, to receive sometimes the chastisement and other things of past transgressions, and to move on and let the anointing of God and the grace of God and the Spirit of the Lord make you the pliable instrument that God can use for His glory. I can't tell you how many people I've known that have had broken days, broken hours, broken situations, broken relationships, everything else. But you don't stay there. You don't allow yourself to be buried there. You don't give up. You don't throw in the towel. You have a God who's a God who is a God of resurrection. And He wants to give you resurrection life. But He can't unless you give Him an opportunity and call upon His name and allow the Holy Spirit to raise you up. Hallelujah. I want God to raise me up. I want God to build what He wants to build in my life. I want Him to minister to me in the capacity He wants to be. But I've got to give Him an opportunity. And sometimes there's heartache. Sometimes there's struggle. Sometimes there's difficulty. Sometimes there's circumstances that I got to get through. But He can make the rough places play. He can turn around the environment. He can turn around. All the terrain in my life can change. And I can see the vision of God. My faith begins to look upon the horizon. And I get the understanding I need and say, wow, that's the city. That's the opportunity. That's the victory. That's the hope. That is what God has given me by faith. Amen. Have you ever been called by God to do something? I know you all have in some way, someplace in your life. You've all been called to be saints of God, called to be sons and daughters of Zion. Come into the church. God's already reached out and said, hey, come on in. It's up to you to take up the invitation. Amen. So every one of you have been called. But the Bible says few are chosen. Few are chosen because they don't take up the mantle. They don't serve the Lord in the capacity. Okay, God, send me. Send me, God. I'm ready. I'm ready to go. Give me the go ye. Amen. I remember when I was at Texas Bible College and I was a young man preparing to serve the Lord as a preacher, as a minister of the gospel. I was in a vesper room. We had a vesper room, it was called, where we would go and the people in my dorm would come together, pray once a week, maybe other times, or hear preaching the word of God. And just, you know, go before the Lord. And one night I went there because it was a prayer room you could go to 24 hours a day. It was never locked. And I went there one night to just pray because I felt the guiding of the Lord that He wanted to speak to me, but I wasn't in that place or position where I could be. And I went to that vesper room where I had been many times and where God had touched me and where I found that capacity to just let it all on the altar of God. And in your heart and life, you need to find that Bethel. You need to find that place. You need to have that vesper room somewhere in your house. Somewhere where you live, even at times if there's a place you can go where you can really get a hold of God, it will become a place of victory in your life. It will become a place of revelation in your life. It will become a place where God knows you want to talk to Him. Come on now. I have a place in my house basically for when I'm serious about praying, I go to it. It has become my prayer room. when I really want to get with it, when I really want to pray, when I really want to open it up, when I want to do something, I go there. Find that place in your life with God. There have also been places and churches I've done the same, where every single morning I've gone to St. Martin of Tours and I've opened up that door and every morning prayed when I need to pray, or when I've gone to the local church, etc., wherever I was at. Or I've even gone many times to Catholic churches because they're always open, and I can go there and just pray in a pew. And I had those places at certain designated times in my life. And it's that place where you know you're going to touch God. There are times I just pray, God, wherever, I'm cool. And the Bible does say to be instant, in season and out of season. But those places of prayer can become altars that God can build upon. Those places of prayer can become altars that God can build upon. And there in that vesper room, I got a hold of God. He opened up his vision for me. And I knew a certain place and pattern. I knew I was being called to go to New England to preach the gospel. And yet the devil didn't want me to go. And even in the midst of that time of prayer, there was a spiritual warfare that was going on. And I sensed it between angels, etc. The devil did not want me to go to England, did not want me to take up this call. That is a graveyard for preachers. That's what this one voice tried to tell me. It is a graveyard for preachers. This was years ago. Now New England's had great revival in so many ways, like it did many, many years gone yonder in the early days of even the revolutionary period. But God always has a plan. And when I broke through that night and saw the victory of God, the angels of God, I felt lifted up and anointed like I'd never felt anointed before. And I knew that God had given me a faith opportunity, and he then soon showed me the door and let me see what I was going to do. And I soon went to preach in Granby, Connecticut, preached a revival there, ministered, God touched in a very special way. And I then, in a couple months, found myself going to Connecticut and served there many, many years preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in the Windsor Locks area, in the Hartford area, and later in Old Saybrook and Westbrook and the shoreline of Connecticut. God always makes a way in your life if you listen to him. But he wants to show you a vision. But you've got to sometimes be broken and be in a situation or in a capacity whereby you're willing to, okay, do what God wants you. Allow the resurrection life of Christ begin to overflow in your life. Amen? Amen? Don't you love that verse 3 of chapter 40 of Isaiah? A voice is crying out. Amen. Clear the Lord's way in the desert. Make a level highway in the wilderness. For who? For our God. A voice is crying out today. There's a voice crying out today for us to get about and do the work of God. All right? And to clear a way, a path for the Lord to do his business. Be in a position for God to do his business. But the church in many areas is not listening. It's caught off in all sorts of things. It's chasing little foxes. It's going after this. It's going after that. It's not seeing the picture of God's work. It's not seeing the picture of what God wants to do. And they're getting off in all sorts of little tangents and things. And not seeing the big picture and what the Lord is trying to do. And how this is a great time of opportunity and revival. And for the Lord to minister and to see lives come to the kingdom. But we're missing it and getting caught up in all sorts of things. We need to repent. We need to put that aside. We need to go away so the Lord can make the rough places plain. He can take care of that uneven ground. He can show forth his glory, and God's visitation can come upon us. Amen. Amen. We need to be in that place to allow faith and wisdom to be conjoined, and we get the understanding that God has for us to do great things. There's a couple times in my life where I can tell you where God has ministered to me and gave me a plan and a vision. Not a million of them. There's just a couple. But each one went to a certain point where I got to the end of that one, and then boom. And some of them, I didn't like the word at all. I didn't like the word at all. And if I told you specifically something God told me was going to happen many, many years ago, it would have probably stopped you from ever wanting to serve God. Because I didn't understand it. I didn't understand it. I never told my parents some of the things, but I was told by God. different things about relationships and things, warnings, and I just didn't, that wasn't God. I just chose that that wasn't God. And you got to be careful of that, because when God tells you something, he's trying to prepare you for something, and I didn't listen to some of it. I didn't. I said, no, I can't. You know, our eyes sometimes are so darkened at times to what is really going on. That's why we need to have fellowship with one another. That's why we need our elder brethren. That's why we need good friends who are real prayer warriors that care about us, and that we can come together with and to listen to the voice of the Lord. And we need to be careful about allowing our stinking carnality and our stinking thinking getting in the way of God's business. Amen. That's truth. That's truth. I remember Brother Derek Prince many years ago, and I'm not going to go into specifics. I know the church. I know the situation. But he and Charles Simpson and a couple other brethren went to minister in a very large church, and their meeting was going on, et cetera. And then the Lord spoke to Brother Derek and told him, hey, so such and such is going on in this brother's life, et cetera. You and the brethren, I'm going to show you who you need to go, and you need to minister to him. And there's going to be other young men and women in the gospel work that I am going to help you and others to use or to be used in order to help them to understand accountability and walking in holiness, so that I can clean my church, bless their lives, and see revival. And that was the beginning of a work of shepherding in their lives and caring for others, many of these brethren, that was, you know, very important and a blessing to the church, and yet at times they didn't understand and get all the wisdom they needed to in applying the principles sometimes of God's word. And they learned, as we all do, in the work of the ministry. But that word that God had given him and the other brethren, when they approached this brother, saved his ministry, saved his marriage, saved his life, saved the church. And because of it, that man's life and that church would eternally be grateful. You know, I want people who can speak to me. I want people who care for me. I want people who can touch God. When I want people to pray for me, I just don't want them to go through the motions. And I know there's a lot of you out there who pray for me. You pray for me when I ask. Okay? But I want you to know this. But there are people in your life that you know when they pray for you. Okay? Now get this. If you don't get anything else I say today, get this. That when they pray, they touch God and they are sincerely praying for you. And God is hearing their prayers, and boom, faith takes place, it touches heaven, and boom, you just expect God's going to do work. And I have those people in my life that if I call upon, it's that way. Amen. When they pray, I know they mean business for in my stead. They know I will pray for them in the same way. They know it. That's the kind of people you need in your life. People will pull down the strongholds, pull down the enemy, put them under the feet, hallelujah, and see the victory of God and the grace of God and the Holy Spirit and the angels of God minister. Don't play around with prayer. Don't play around with just trying to get things going. Don't play around with just saying you're going to pray for something. Would you pray? Would you really get a hold of God? When your pastor needs prayer, would you pray for him? And I mean not just doing mumble the words, even though that's nice. There's a lot of regurgitated prayers. But how many prayers touch the throne of grace? How many prayers see the vision of God? We know of scriptures in the Old Testament where prayer was hindered for time and season, even though the answer was sent by God, because of things in the spiritual realm. The devil didn't want God's blessing going to God's people and tried to hinder it. And the person was just shocked that it took so long. But you know something? God's time is everything, but also there are times when the prayer and the answer to the prayer is already coming, but there's a battle raging you don't even understand. There are things going on at your job today. There's things going on in your household today that you just can't put your hand on it, and you're saying, God, why isn't the answer here yet? But God's working some things out. God's sifting some things out. He's got to get rid of some things in order to see the blessings of God. It's just not quite ready. And we need not just the faith, but the wisdom of God, so that we can see the work in our prayers and our actions, then see the power of God come about and the victory and the miracle that needs to be. You know, sometimes we're too quick to deal with an issue. Now, preachers, I'm talking to you right now. Mothers and daughters, sisters, pastors, oh, whatever, whoever you are. I'm talking to those who speak into people's lives, who touch hearts. Sometimes God's doing some things, and it's not quite time to push it. Not quite time to interject. It's not quite time for you to do what you think is your thing, because you're sick of it. You're tired of it. Unless God Almighty comes out and tells you, it's time, boom, then you don't do nothing. There's a time in life to stand and just say, okay, God, it's your business. Hallelujah. And know that He is God. And too often, we do God's job when it's not our place. Hallelujah. I haven't preached in over a month, boy. I tell you, I don't know. I'm throwing some things out here. But I mean it, church. I care about you. I want you to be serious about prayer. I want you to be serious about the things of God. And with your faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence not seen, I want you to get the wisdom and understanding to apply the kingdom principles so that you can see victory in your life. I need it. Spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially, in every capacity, I need the wisdom of God. Sometimes I don't know where to place and put things in. Sometimes I don't know what bill to pay first or what not to take care of things of God. What should be the priority? And sometimes that's where we really miss it. What is the priority? When I've got to make choices, what is the priority? Okay? With faith, get wisdom so you know how to place that seed. Amen? Lord, okay, what am I going to do with this? Now, I've told people in the church to do this, and to anybody who hears this word, and into my own life, I've applied it. There are times when my budget was such, or something happened out of the ordinary, fixing the car, etc. I didn't have all the money for my tithe or whatever that I usually would put in. And I felt bad. But God said, give me something to work with. I just had to give Him something to work with. And if I was faithful a little, God would bless me with much. So I was faithful to this amount and this, and until I got back on track in some difficult times when there were setbacks, and there's going to be setbacks in life. But faithfulness can overcome setbacks. Faithfulness with God can overcome setbacks. And it can be your comeback. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Keep on the mark of the high calling that is in Christ Jesus. This is not a sprint to the throne room of grace. This is not a sprint to heavenly places. This is a long distance race. Amen? Amen. So understand that challenge. Too many of us act like it's a sprint to a sprint to a sprint to a sprint. And we have all these gap periods in between in our spiritual lives and in our personal lives that have all these messes that have happened because of it. Yep, we treat God and our relationship like a sprint. I'm excited for God. I'm pumped up after church. I go home. I do this and that. Then by Wednesday, Thursday, I'm dribbling. I'm just trying to get through. I'm just trying to make it till the clock goes off and, you know, the game's over and whatever. Come on now. I'm not the only one who's made that mistake, am I? It's to the one who endures to the end. And I'm not going to be jealous of the person who, in the last hour before Christ's coming, turns their heart to God, repents of their sins, gets right with God, maybe just days before God comes or something, or comes into his life, when they've lived their whole life in like a wreck, and be jealous and say, well, God, I've been faithful all these years. Nope. Not going to have that attitude of disgratitude. I'm not going to have that attitude of disgratitude. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me. Thank you, Lord, for helping me get up. Thank you, Lord, for making each day so that I can say, thank you, Lord, I'm breathing today. Thank you, Lord, each day that your word is forever settled in my heart and my mind. Thank you, Lord, that your word is making a way for me. Thank you, Lord, that you have God's people in mind. Thank you, Lord. You know, come on. Thank God I can get up. Thank God I can get going. Thank God I can see success. It's never easy. But you will see those days of victory and you will rejoice in the things of God. Amen. Amen. I wish every church service that we had and everything else and every time together would sometimes be a glory fest. Ever felt that way? Want every single church service and everything just be a glory fest? Every time just a great outpouring of God, just a great this, great that, you know? Yeah, we all want that. But in the midst of that, remember something. Let's not manufacture something that's not there. Wow, I got way off on some subjects, but I think I'm right on where God wants. But let's deal with this for a moment. Don't try to manufacture. Don't try to manufacture the supernatural blessings of God, the appearance of superficiality that can be in a service that can, quote, give people that high. Yes, be a blessed and anointed minstrel. Yes, be a wonderful minister of God's word. Yes, be a person that has an appetite and attitude in prayer that really tries to touch God. But remember, faithfulness can make the way to victory. Faithfulness can see the way to opportunity. And even when it's, quote, not all there, it's just being faithful and keeping on and ministering, even when you don't feel it, even when you don't sense it, even though you don't see the glory coming out of all the spouts, God is still there. God is still blessing. But when He brings that revival, when He outpours that Spirit, when you see that miracle, it's going to blow you away. Amen. Amen. We have gotten too good, church, and making things feel good. We know how to put the uh-huh and the aha in the service. We know when to say the glory and the praise God just to make it right in the service. We know when to manipulate sister so-and-so and do this with brother so-and-so. Uh-huh. Ouch. Come on. Ooh, in this song, I use this song anytime it really gets, you know, the church doesn't get, I just use the song and boom, we'll be right there. Church don't need a crutch. Body of Christ don't need to be using a crutch. Be faithful with God's things. Let God be God. And when the time is right, His anointing is going to flow. He's going to bless. He's going to touch. You're going to see the victory of God. I want you to crave the genuine. Hallelujah. I'm going to have to close soon. But I want you to crave the genuine in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Not the manufactured. Not the manipulated. Not that which has been copied and, you know, sent to my church from another church, from this church. Thank God for what they've given me in Revelation, but I have to appreciate the reality of it all and understand that what they are giving me that might be a blessing, I can't bring that just, quote, into our midst and say, oh, this, plug it in and say, it's going to work perfect in our church. No. You might have faith that it's going to work, but make sure to get the wisdom with understanding to appropriate the revelation that God has given you in your life. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful that He's kept me. I'm so thankful that He's helped me through the trials I've gone through. I'm so thankful that when I've had difficult times, He's been there. There are times when we've been scattered. There's times when there's been temptations. There's times when our patience has been tried. But the Lord will help us to pass life's test. Tests that we undergo in school. Tests that we go through on the job. Tests that we go through. Anxiety that might build. God will help us. And we physically, emotionally, and in every way can see God work and touch our lives and put us on the path to victory. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God the gift to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given you. Not might so. Could be. He shall. He wants to give it to the church. He wants to give it to you liberally. So with your faith, get wisdom. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. O Lord, O Lord, O Lord, O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, touch our words. Lord, help us to meditate or consider the things of God. And Lord, let us apply with wisdom the faith you're putting into our lives. Amen? Praise God. I appreciate each and every one of you. And let's close with prayer if we could. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for God's people. I thank you so much for what you're doing in their lives. I thank you so much for the power of the gospel. And I thank you, Lord, that the gospel can set men and women's hearts free as they accept the word and take it in and let the seed of faith begin to grow and to see hope and love come about and Jesus Christ become their best friend. I pray, Lord God, that you touch your church today, protect it in the midst of this pandemic, preserve it under your love, and I plead your blood over each and every one of our hearts and lives that hear this word and hear this prayer, that God will visit, God will protect, and his angels will keep his people in perfect peace, in Jesus' name. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to take these days ahead and to work with your plan, get that vision, and apply our faith in a way that sees fruit in this hour. God, I pray, break the chains of bondage of fear. Break the chains of doubt. Break the chains of disappointment. Break the chains of disillusionment. And give hope and speak life in my brothers and sisters today. And let Jesus Christ be real to them today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless each and every one of you, and thank you for being with us today. And I pray as we go forth in this next year, I didn't touch upon too much in the quote lectionary, the study notes, but I pray that the word that God gives and ministers through me will be always of encouragement to your soul. In Jesus' name, amen.